Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship in First Omagh this morning. I just want to draw your attention to a number of notices. This evening is our Emban Gwenny Praise and Commissioning service tonight at 7 o'clock in the Rowan Hall. This is an opportunity for us to gather together to send off our team of five to Emban Gwenny, Catherine Boyle, David and Janice Vance, Emma Fleming and Isabel Bale. So if you are free this evening, please do come along to the Rowan Hall for 7 o'clock tonight. And then another opportunity to wave them farewell at 12:30 on Wednesday, because they are going off from the church car park at 12:30 on Wednesday in a minibus down to Dublin Airport. So again, if you are free and about town on Wednesday, then please call into the car park and be part of the team that wave them off. I think their families will be gathered there as well to send them off. So you're more than welcome to come and join them. And then this Thursday evening, we have our prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. And again, a warm invitation to anyone who would like to come to that prayer service to come along and join with us. We will be praying for the team, who I think by that stage may even have landed in Emban Gwenny, 7 o'clock on Tuesday. You'll be on the station. Yep, so they should be there by then, which is great. We might even have a wee message update or something, David. What do you think? Oh, that'd be great. WhatsApp's wonderful, travels all around the world. Brilliant. And it's free, even better. And then next Sunday, then, we're having our final service in First Omagh before the summer at 11:30. And this has become a traditional service, which is our Songs of Praise service. It will be at 11:30 next Sunday, an opportunity for the congregation to choose the hymns and to sing their favourite songs. So if you haven't done so already, please do let Keith know what your suggestions are, and they will hopefully be included in the service next Sunday, which will also include a baptism. And then for the month of July, we will be worshipping, or technically you will be worshipping in Trinity whilst I'm on holiday. And sadly, I have to announce the death of a member of our congregation. In the early hours of this morning, Mrs. Jean Robinson, formerly of Blackfort Road, died in the nursing home out in Knockmoyle. Her funeral service is going to take place tomorrow, Monday, at 3 o'clock. So you're invited to come along to that service of thanksgiving for Jean's life. Her house is strictly private. As you know, she lived there as a widow, and her sister Olive provided her with companionship and support, especially in her recent years. And Olive just isn't fit in order to greet people in the home. But they will be here tomorrow, the family, the nephews and their families, tomorrow at 3 o'clock for the service. So please do, if you're free and able to come, please do so. And remember Olive and the family in your prayers at this time. We come to give thanks to the Lord our God, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. So let us sing to our God of love a hymn based on Psalm 23, "The King of Love My Shepherd Is," merging together Psalm 23 and Jesus' call as being the good shepherd of the sheep. So hymn number 98, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." It's on God's covenant love to us, his everlasting love for us. And so our opening prayers is a prayer that is based on that wonderful passage of love that tells us that love is patient, kind and gentle, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And that will be the framework for this opening prayer. So let us come before our heavenly loving Father in prayer. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that you are a loving, gracious God. Thank you that you've offered us forgiveness and the gift of new life in you. Thank you that your love is perfect, it never fails, and that nothing can separate us from your love. We pray that our lives would be filled and overflowing with the power of your love, so we can make a difference in this world and bring honour to you. We ask, O Lord, for your help in reminding us that the most important things are not what we do outwardly. It's not based upon our talents or gifts, but the most significant thing we can do in this life is simply to love you and to choose to love others. Lord, thank you that your love is patient. Help us show patience with those around us. Lord, thank you that your love is kind. Help us to extend kindness to others. Lord, thank you that true love is not jealous. Help us cast aside feelings of jealousy or hatred towards others. Lord, thank you that your love does not brag and is not arrogant. Help us not to live with pride or arrogance, but choose to walk with humility and grace. Lord, thank you that true love does not act unbecomingly. Lord, help us to extend kindness instead of rudeness to others. Help us to lay aside the critical tone and the tearing down with words, so that we can truly walk in peace. Lord, thank you that true love does not seek its own. Help us not to live selfishly, looking only to our own interests. Lord, thank you that true love is not provoked. Help us not to become easily angered. Help us not to be so quickly reactive, but instead be slow to speak and slow to become angry. Lord, thank you that your love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Help us not to hold grudges, but to choose to forgive, even when it's difficult. Lord, thank you that your love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. Help us to love your words of truth. May we walk in your freedom and in your wisdom. Let it be what drives our lives and choices every day. Lord, thank you that your love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Thank you that your love never fails. Help us to love as you love. Fill us with your spirit so that we can choose what is best. We are weak, Lord, but we know also that even when we are weak, you are strong within us. Thank you that it's not all up to us. Thank you that you equip us to face each day with the power of your love, your forgiveness, and your grace. We love you, Lord, and we need you today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading this morning is a psalm that is based upon God's love and will be read for us. By Richard, and I'm really sorry, Richard, your second name has just gone out of my head, and it's normally on the page, but Psalm 36, verses 5 to 11. Sorry, Richard. This can be found on page 557 of the Bibles in the pews.
Lord, your constant love reaches the heavens, your faithfulness extends to the skies, your righteousness is towering like the mountains, your justice is like the depths of the sea. Men and animals are in your care. How precious, O God, is your constant love. We find protection under the shadow of your wings. We feast on the abundant food you provide. You let us drink from the river of your goodness. You are the source of all life, and because you're light, we see the light. Continue to love those who know you and to do good to those who are righteous. Do not let proud men attack me or wicked men make me run away. Amen.
Sorry, thank you. Sorry, Richard Shannon. Apologies for that. I hope you forgive me in light of the passages that we've read. I was going to have a children's talk, but I see that, Caitlin, you're the only one in church this morning. You can come and we can have a talk together, or you can sit with Mum, whichever you prefer. Stay with Mum. I thought that might be the case. That's grand. Well, we're going to sing your song, and it's a song that you will know well, but it's also a song that everyone here in the congregation will know well, because it's a song that we all have learnt from our childhood that talks about Jesus' love for us, and it's hymn 270, Jesus loves me, this I know. Let us stand and worship God together. And our New Testament scripture reading also picks up the theme of God's love. It's 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7, and this can be found on page 305 of the Bibles in the pews. Dear friends, let us love one another because love comes from God. Whoever loves is a child of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And God showed his love for us by sending his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. This is what love is. It is not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the means by which our sins are forgiven. Dear friends, if this is how God loved us, then we should love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in union with us, and his love is made perfect in us. We are sure that we live in union with God and that he lives in union with us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and tell others that the Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone declares that Jesus is the Son of God, he lives in union with God, and God lives in union with him. If anyone declares that Jesus is the Son of God, he lives in union with God, and God lives in union with him. And we ourselves know and believe the love which God has for us. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in union with God, and God lives in union with him. Amen. And we thank God for his word to us. We come now to our prayers for others. Let us pray. Loving God, we give thanks that you first loved us and taught us what true love is. Help us, we pray, to love others with unfailing love, and to show mercy to those in need. We pray this morning, O Lord, from those whom we love the most, the families that you have blessed us with, parents, grandparents, husbands, wives, sons, daughters, grandchildren, sisters, brothers, extended family. We pray, O Lord, that they may each be filled with love, joy, peace and fulfillment, that they may know your safety and protection, and may know the love and encouragement of their Heavenly Father. In the midst of the myriad of loving family bonds, we acknowledge, O Lord, that there are also family tensions. And so we pray, Lord, that your love would flow in and between our family, easing tensions, healing hurts, strengthening relationships, and keeping us united with one another and with you, our Heavenly Father. We give thanks also this morning for the gift of friendship and for the love, loyalty, and support we receive from the many people within our friendship circles. Help us, we pray, to be better friends to others, to show love, support, and encouragement to our friends, without looking for anything in return. Help us, we pray, to be there for our friends in times of need, as well as in those times of plenty. We pray too for the love which we have for our brothers and sisters in Christ, those who belong to our congregation here, those whom we know personally in other congregations or fellowships in this town and across our country, as well as those brothers and sisters in Christ whom we have never met, but are united together through our faith in Jesus Christ. Loving God, may we rejoice in our unity in Christ, and may our love for him and for his church help us to overcome the things that divide and bring dishonour to your name. Loving God, you call us to not only love you and to love our neighbours, but also to love our enemies. We confess, O Lord, that we find this very difficult to do, both personally and corporately. And yet your Son set us the example of such great love, that whilst we were still his enemies, he died on the cross for us. Fill us, we pray, with such sacrificial hearts of love that the whole world will come to know how high and deep and wide and long is your love for each person in all of creation. These prayers we offer in the name of the Saviour of love himself, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we gather together to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so, as we have prayed and remembered Christ's great sacrifice to us, we now stand to sing about his love vast as the ocean as we sing hymn 402. I don't know how many of you who are parents or grandparents of recent years know the book that's entitled Guess How Much I Love You. Anybody know it? Grace knows it. Barry knows it. Yes. A few others? A few nods. Yeah. Oh, there's a few grannies, a few mummies, a few people who work with children. So Guess How Much I Love You. It was written by a man called Sam McBratney. And it was written in 1994, and he's from Belfast. And Sam was asked to write a short book that could be illustrated for children. And so he wrote a book about two little rabbits, or hares actually, a little nut brown hare and a big nut brown hare. The little nut brown hare, obviously, was the little child in the family, and the big nut brown hare was the daddy. So the whole way through the book, the little nut brown hare wants to show his daddy how much he loves him. And he wants to show that he loves him even more than his daddy loves him. So guess how much I love you, the little nut brown hare said. I love you this much. And of course his little hands were small, so the distance was small. And the big nut brown hare, he says, well, I love you this much. And so the little nut brown hare thought, well, I love you as high as I can hop. So he hopped up high. And of course, the big nut brown hare, he was able to leap a lot higher. And so no matter how the little nut brown hare tried to show how much he loved his daddy, the daddy was always able to show that he loved him more. And so just as he was getting ready to go to sleep, he was very tired and sleepy. There's a little storybook that you would read to your children or your grandchildren. Or your nieces or nephews in my case. He begins to close his eyes, and it's dark, and he looks up into the sky and he says, I love you to the moon, thinking that that was the furthest distance that anyone could love anybody. And the big nut brown hare, just as his little baby was falling over to sleep, said, I love you to the moon and back. And so there we can see that love really cannot be defined, can it? It cannot be measured. The more that we try to measure it, the more we realise that it is actually immeasurable. But often you will see now on birthday cards and on Facebook posts, love you to the moon. So if you ever spot that or somebody puts that on it and you think, where did that come from? You'll be able to say it came from Sam McBratney's book in 1994. It's now sold 30 million copies and has been made into a movie. So there you go. Guess how much I love you. We love to be able to measure how much somebody loves us. We like to measure things, don't we, to get their value, to know their worth, to establish their weightiness. And that doesn't just apply to objects, but to our relationships with others. Can that person really be trusted? Will they stay the course with me when things get tough? Will they love me no matter what? And our readings today and our focus for our service today is that we can place our trust in the God who loves us even more than to the moon and back. God's love is infinite, beyond measure, matchless and eternal. Why? Because he himself is love. And he created us in love. And he cares for us with an everlasting love. And he saved us because of his great love for us. And Psalm 36 is a wonderful picture of God's great love for the world. He attempts, like we do, to measure the vastness of God's goodness to us. He tells us that God's love reaches to the heavens. In other words, his love knows no bounds. It is beyond our imagination. And Scripture itself reveals that to us. It shows us how deep God's love is for us. We can think of many instances in Scripture where God's love is beyond a human's imagination or even beyond a human's possibility. We think of the prophet Hosea, who was told to marry a prostitute, Gomer. And as Gomer was unfaithful to Hosea and ran away from home so many times, the Lord told Hosea to bring Gomer back into the family again, to love her and to care for her and to give her another chance. And there in the story of Hosea and Gomer, we see how God is always willing to give us a second chance. Because throughout Scripture, we see how God's people turn away from him time and time again. They go off after other gods. They fail to give their true allegiance, their faithfulness to Almighty God. And yet time and time and time again, God offers them a way back. He calls them back in repentance and he welcomes them in his arms. Which again brings to mind, I'm sure for many of you, the story of the prodigal son. The son who left the father, who took his inheritance, who spent it on a bad lifestyle and then decided to return home to the father to seek his forgiveness. And before he'd even reached the house, the father ran to embrace him and to welcome him home. Again, a sign of the immeasurable deepness of God's love for all of his creation and how he longs for all of us to be reconciled to us. And then the wonderful gift of love itself, the gift of Jesus Christ, who, whilst we were still sinners, died on the cross for us because God loved us so much and wanted us to have a new beginning in him. So the psalmist describes that love as reaching to the heavens. He also describes God as having a faithfulness that extends to the skies. A faithfulness that is always in our vision. God can be relied upon us just as the sun setting. We can rely upon it. It is faithful. It rises in the morning and it sets in the evening. It extends right across the skyline. And God will always be faithful to us. He will honour his word as he did to Abraham. He will honour his word to the children of Israel in the promise of a Messiah. And he will honour his word to us that Christ will indeed return one day and he will never leave us nor forsake us. And then the psalmist looks at God's righteousness like a mighty mountain that tells us that we can rely upon God, that he is solid ground, he is unshakable, he is trustworthy and true. We can build our lives on God's righteousness, on the righteousness of Christ, not in our own strength or in our own abilities or in our own good works, but on the great work of righteousness that Christ accomplished for us on the cross at Calvary, covering a multitude of our sin, pulling us from the miry pit and setting our feet on solid ground, on his righteousness as strong as the mighty mountains. And then the psalmist talks about God's justice. His justice is as deep as the deepest ocean. If we drop a stone in a river, we can hear it plunging to the bottom of the riverbed. We can think of an anchor being dropped from a ship, an anchor that lodges deep in the depths of the ocean, holding fast, immovable even in the midst of the largest storm. So God's justice runs deep and true. It cannot be altered by the shift of opinion. God knows right from wrong. He knows good from evil. He can discern truth and goodness and integrity. And he will see that justice is truly done. We can depend upon him for that. So the psalmist gives us this wonderful picture of our world, of the heavens, of the skies, of the mountains, of the ocean depths. And he tells us that our God is bigger than all of that, because he stands outside of the world and he holds us in his hands. The psalmist reminds us that God cares for his people, for the people who inhabit the earth. And he tells us that he also cares for the animals too. God cares about this world that we live in. He cares about the situations that we find ourselves in. He cares about the devastation that is caused by sin, the broken relationships that we have, the battle that we have with sickness or with temptation. He cares about the cruelty to animals. He cares about the pollution of our oceans. He cares about the destruction of Earth's rich resources. Sometimes we might ask, can God really care? Does he really care about what's happening in this world? When young mothers drop dead suddenly? When evil people plot and carry out atrocities, killing, maiming, and destroying families and communities? When we see our oceans polluted with plastic and animal species driven to extinction? Does God really care? The psalmist was similarly puzzled. Richard Shannon read for us verse 5 onwards in Psalm 36. I didn't ask him to read the first 4 verses for a reason, because I want to read them to you now. This is the preface to Psalm verse 5. It tells us why the psalmist was contemplating the love, the righteousness, the justice, and the mercy of God. In Psalm 36 and verse 1, it opens with, "Sin speaks to the wicked man deep in his heart. He rejects God and has no reverence for him. Because he thinks so highly of himself, he thinks that God will not discover his sin and condemn it. His speech is wicked and full of lies. He no longer does what is wise and good. He makes evil plans as he lies in bed. Nothing he does is good, and he never rejects anything evil." And so the psalmist, we think, was King David. And as he was contemplating the world that he was living in and his situation at that time, he saw that evil men were running rampant, possibly evil women too. Men and women were not following the ways of God. They were full of wickedness. Their speech was full of lies. They even plotted evil whilst they lay in their beds. He was consumed by the darkness of the world. But when our focus is on the goodness of God, then we can see how he will address the wickedness that is in this world. It is out of our confidence in who God is that we are enabled to have hope in the midst of a world in despair. We can despair at times of the depravity in this world, of the hatred and the exploitation, the violence, the sickness, the sadness. We may think that it has the upper hand. But when we look beyond the created world to the Creator, we see a God whose love is eternal, who is ever faithful, whose righteousness can be relied upon, and whose judgments are always just. And so that brings us hope, even in the midst of the darkness and trial. It means that when we trust in the God of love and faithfulness and righteousness and justice, when we are under attack, we don't have to rely upon ourselves, but can seek the shadow of Almighty God. The psalmist tells us that we can shelter under the wing of the Almighty. And here is pictured the Holy of Holies in the temple, the cherubim who are over the ark. And so the psalmist seeks his shelter and his protection under the shadow of Almighty God. Protected from the might of the armies that surround him by the shadow of God. Just as we as Christians are protected from hell's wrath and hell's armies through the shadow of the cross, which offers us protection and safety. Not because of any holiness or strength in ourselves, but because of the one who offers us his shelter and his protection. And the psalmist also says that those of us who trust in the Lord can feast joyfully at his table. God is a generous host. So often in scripture we see the image of a banqueting table laid out by God for his people to come and feast with him. Psalm 23 spreads a banquet before his enemies. Jesus has many parables of a wedding feast and a banquet. And he himself gave us the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, a banqueting feast to prepare us for that heavenly feast that we will one day enjoy. This sign of an abundant table of goodness is to remind us of God's goodness to us and his generous provision. I remember as a young person going away on our youth fellowship weekend, and when I became a junior leader, I was assigned to help Leslie in the kitchen. And Leslie was great. Ivy would love her on her team because she was able to work out how many loaves of sandwiches you could, or how many rounds of sandwiches you can make from a loaf of bread, how many packets of powdered soup could feed 25 young people, how many packets of sausages she needed for hot dogs. And it was strictly apportioned one per person. And so we had the rations. We were under a budget, of course. She had to do that. But we were under a budget and we were rationed. And it certainly wasn't a feast that was overflowing. It certainly was enough to sustain us, but it was far from a feast that is overflowing. Whereas God's goodness and his generosity to us, he provides us with a banqueting table that is laden with food. He provides sustenance to us from his word. He provides fellowship for us through his Son. He gifts us with the presence of his Holy Spirit. And he meets all our needs through his glorious riches. So when we turn to our God, we will be fully satisfied. The psalmist also points to drinking abundantly from the river of God's delights. And again, that image of rivers runs through Scripture. And the river of delight, the same word for delight, is the word for Eden, a reminder of the paradise where God had first created the world and where men and women first lived in Eden, in paradise. And we think of the river that will run through God's holy temple in the New Jerusalem, providing life to all who drink from it. We think of the Samaritan woman at the well, whom Jesus offers life-giving water. And so we see how God gives us an eternal life if we come to him and if we receive his life-giving water that is given to us through faith in Christ, our Saviour. And the eternity that he has to offer us, which will last way beyond the troubles that we face in this world today. And then finally, the psalmist gives us that wonderful picture of walking confidently in God's light. Because of your light, we see light, the psalmist says. So even in the darkness of his situation and his circumstances, when the psalmist looked to God, he saw God's truth and God's light and God's love and God's faithfulness and God's justice and God's mercy. And that shed light in the darkness of his life. And it guided him through life. It enabled him to walk confidently into the future in the face of his enemies, knowing that there could be nothing that would separate him from that light of God. And we have that light in Christ that shines in our lives, that provides direction and guidance for us in this world, until that day when that light returns to the world and where darkness will reign no more. So we see the wonderful blessings in Psalm 36 of God's love and his faithfulness and his righteousness to us. We see how he blesses us in this world, even in our difficulties and trials. And we see how he protects us from the proud and the wicked. We still live in a fallen world. We still need to turn from our sin and turn to God. But he offers us an eternity that is secure in him. But what about those wicked men? The end of the psalm, Psalm number 36, finishes with this line. See where evil men have fallen. There they lie, unable to rise. And so we see right at the very end of the psalm, as the psalmist contemplates the evil that's in this world, as he reflects upon the glory and the wonder of the God who loves and saves him, he's able to see the future. That ultimately, those who live according to the evil ways of the world will receive their just punishment. They will fall and be unable to rise. The Lord will ultimately triumph. Those who seek shelter will find his protection under his mighty wing. Those who feast with joy will be filled to the full. Those who drink from the river of his delights will receive life in all its fullness. And those who walk in the light of his love will never be abandoned. But the wicked will be defeated. They will receive their just rewards. They will no longer see or know the face of God. And so we trust in God, and in his justice, and in his mercy. And we finish with a hymn by Noel Richards. And I'm just going to read it to you as a prayer. So let us pray together. Overwhelmed by love, deeper than oceans, high as the heavens, ever living God, your love has rescued me. All my sin was laid on your dear Son, your precious one. All my debt he paid. Great is your love for me. No one could ever earn your love. Your grace and mercy is free. Lord, these words are true. So is my love for you. Amen. Your offering to God will be received. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love to us and the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we bring these, our offerings of love, to you. And we pray, O Lord, that you would take them and us, and that you would use us to share your love with a hurting world. These prayers we offer in Jesus' name. Amen. We cannot have a service that talks about the love of the divine without singing that wonderful hymn, hymn 509, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Let's stand and worship our great King of Love, 509. And now may the love of God Almighty, the blessing of Jesus Christ, and the help of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and evermore. Amen.